Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's 4:06, coming up on 4:06 here in the afternoon. Felger and Maz with Adam Jones and Marshall Hook alongside from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. It's now time for the DN Van Lines Moves Around the League, and that's really all the NBA player movement that we just talked about. All that fabulous, wonderful NBA drama with the personnel switching teams and the new landscape across the league, how that's all going to shake out. It really is as good of an offseason as you'll ever have for any league in my lifetime anyway, and I don't know if it'll ever be duplicated, not even in the NBA. I don't know if it'll ever conspire where you had that many guys come due in the same year. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be hard for basketball even to do that again. Even though they're all still signing two-year deals with opt-outs and everything, hard to imagine it's ever going to line up like it did this year. So that is the DN Van Lines Move Around the League. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover, DN Van Lines. All right, Jones put this in front of me as came off a little bit of a break there. I did not see the story till Jones gave it to me this morning in our email chain, so I'll just read it right here. According to Andrew Beaton of the Wall Street Journal, NFL owners have proposed an 18-game regular season with a caveat that no player would be allowed to compete in more than 16 games. The NFLPA, the Players Association, has been reluctant to stretch the regular season beyond its current 16-game schedule due to injury concerns. But putting a cap on how many games a player can suit up would be a fair compromise. Per Beaton, extending the regular season by 2 games could increase league revenue by $2.5 billion while potentially adding $15 million to each team's salary cap. Choosing when to sit players would also add an interesting layer to coaching decisions. It's unclear how much, if any, traction this idea has, but it's not the worst idea the NFL has ever come up with. That's what the excerpt was from the Wall Street Journal story. I've seen Demora Smith say that they're not interested in doing this. The NFLPA has, in fact, rejected it already. But again, the writer here says that this is not the worst idea the NFL has ever come up with. Would you guys agree or disagree with that statement?
I mean, that's setting a pretty low bar.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is it the worst idea? I don't know. It's a dumb idea. It's as I put in the email, it is dumb, dumb, dumb.
I called it insane.
Insane. So yeah, it's a poor idea. I do acknowledge what was in there, that there would be interesting fodder each week around, well, can you play this guy? Can you not play that guy? That's good for our purposes, and I think that's especially good here in New England, where we're trying to drum up interest around boring-ass regular season games against the Bills and Jets. So I think that would be good for us, selfishly. For the league? No. And for fans? Hell no. And, you know, I have other thoughts on this that I can elaborate on if we want to go there. I mean, I think the owners put it out there knowing that the players wouldn't take it, and this begins the back and forth, the give and take with the players to get an 18-game schedule, which we're going to get. But I don't think they care about the health of any of these guys. So, no, I think it's a dumb idea. And I didn't even realize Demora Smith already shot it down, but good, they should.
It's one of those ideas that when you literally first hear it or think about it, you go, huh, that's interesting. And then you take I don't know, 7 seconds and start thinking about it a little bit more, and you come into some problems. Because obviously the first thing people think of is the quarterback, right? And they're like, okay, well, so you'd have to sit down the quarterback for 2 games. That's interesting. But then I start to say, well, how about the O-line? You know, that's kind of a unit. Or how about, does Tom Brady want to line up with God knows who over there guarding his blind side? How about the 2 weeks when you don't have Steven Gostkowski, who's kicking your field goals? How about that same thing with the punter? How about, do you at any point during the entire now 18-game season have your actual full, as you conceived it and built it, team out there? Because there are, what, 40-some-odd players who need to be active, and so you don't have that big a roster to substitute all of those players over the course of a handful of games, so there's every chance you never have your full team out there. And then you got to start thinking about it from the owner's standpoint. Like, well, you know, going back to the quarterback, sure, I'll go ahead and I will not start Tom Brady when Buffalo comes to town, because that's the easiest game on the schedule. Taking on the worst team at home, easiest schedule. But wait a second, do I not want to start Tom Brady at one of my home games in front of my home crowd? No. All right, so I won't start him somewhere on the road, which by definition of the way the sports works, that one's an incrementally harder game. So you're not making that decision based solely on that. And then you start thinking about the TV people. They're like, wait a second, I got the Patriots in Buffalo and you're not going to start Tom Brady? I'm paying you $14 billion trillion a year and you're going to take all of the best players out of every game every week? You know, some best player will be out of every game every week. It's going to be a mess. And how much money does fantasy football make for the NFL? And what will be the impact on that if I've gone and I've drafted all these players and now they're not like, there are so many, you know, dominoes that fall after the simple idea of we want 18 games and the players don't want to play more than 16. So this is a good idea.
You think the networks would be against this, getting 2 extra games?
I think they would be against it on a week-by-week basis when you start watering down the quality of the game.
No, they'd get frustrated if they had a game and Tom Brady was sitting, but you think on balance, the whole proposal, that they wouldn't want 2 extra weeks of inventory?
Probably.
What, are you nuts? Of course they would. So this is not going to surprise you. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, Hook said give it 7 seconds. I'm sure Felger gave it 8 or 9 to talk himself into it. Yeah.
Well, I've always wanted the 18-game schedule, and I think the players can handle it. I do. It's not the game, you know, they've trimmed back so much of the work that they do in the offseason. It's insane what it's like now for these guys with the limited amount of practice time. It's why the league has suffered. The quality of play has suffered, frankly, is because they can't do training camp anymore. They don't do two-a-days. They don't hit. They don't tackle. They're not in pads, blah, blah, blah.
Good. Add 2 more games to that then. Good.
Well, I mean, you get it right now in the preseason anyway.
Yeah, but those guys aren't playing those games.
So why not make them play? I've always qualified this too because I was a big USFL fan back when I was a kid, Jones, and they all played 18 games. They all survived. It's okay. And the 16-game thing, though, you play 18 games, but guys can only play 16. Oh, that's tremendous fodder. And it's not just tremendous fodder.
Good fodder is true.
It is outstanding. I mean, that would be that's a lineup talk. That'd be the best you'd ever have because people are just so invested in these football games. So that would be tremendous potential for programming and all of this. But I think it also shows who the best teams are. And I think...
Forget gunner talk, backup gunner talk. That's what you want. Who has the best backup gunner?
Well, to me, I think the my favorite Patriots moments over these last 2 decades were the games that they were winning with Matt Cassel and Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo. That's where I think you've separated yourself.
I'm sorry, you like the Brissett games
now?
Yes.
Well, no, I mean...
I don't feel like you like the Brissett games very much while they were happening.
I like what they represent, and you know, and what they represent is, I think, and I just, off the top of my head, with Cassel, Garoppolo, and Brissett, the Patriots are 14-6. They were 11-5 with Cassel. The year Cassel, you know, took over, they were 11-5.
And 3-1 with those two.
They were 14-6. That is a statement to you. Like, that is... I mean, because the other teams that I watch, when I see Peyton Manning get hurt for the Colts, they absolutely collapse and are a complete joke. When Aaron Rodgers is out for the Packers, they are a 0.0.
Yeah, you just answered your own question.
And when you lose your quarterback, you're 14-6. Like, to me, that says something. That means something.
I fully acknowledge that from a Patriots standpoint, this is terrific. Because if anybody could game plan out an entire season and figure out the right people to leave in and out, that would be right up Bill Belichick's alley.
Huge advantage for you.
I'd love to see Andy Reid, you know, call a play for his best wide receiver and then forget that he's on the bench. That would be terrific.
You just answered your own question why it's bad for the league. More Brett Hundleys, more Dan Orlovskys. The Patriots could probably figure it out. Sure, the Patriots probably would figure it out. But, yeah, you're going to get all these. Anytime a backup quarterback plays around the league, it's terrible. Now you're telling me it's guaranteed every team has to do that twice? That stinks.
But let me ask you. You'd rather than not have two extra games. You'd rather not have football?
No. My whole thing really is with limit. If you want to play 18-game schedules, then everybody should play. No. I think the two-game thing is dumb.
Here's a choice before you. But let's just say you can't have it all.
Okay. Then I want it how it is. Yep.
Okay. I wouldn't. I'll take the two extra games because when football's done, it's done. It's a dark time, folks. I think you know what I'm talking about. So if the trade-off for extra football is a backup quarterback, I'll take it. No problem.
Know this is great news for is the 33rd best kicker in the league. Because that guy would play for nine different teams in a season.
But all these, the Patriots have lapped the field to such a degree that I think Bill needs something like this.
No, this would create a bigger chasm.
Like an extra, it would be, an extra degree of difficulty because it's like now it's gotten boring. It's gotten stupid. That, the gap between Belichick and the next best coaches, the brain drain. The talent gap isn't huge between the Patriots and other teams, but the coaching gap feels like it gets bigger by the year. It really does. It's gotten stupid. And so I think Bill needs extra stuff to do because this is just, honestly, it's like how much fun could it possibly be to wipe up on these bums?
He's going to NBA games in Barbados during free agency. So, yeah, maybe he does need more to do.
He needs more to do. So he'll figure it out. He won't have an extra kicker. He'll get the punter to do the, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And all the backup gunners. He'll have the best backup gunners in the league.
In fairness, they already have backup gunners.
There's no question they do.
That's true. That gunner depth chart is
just
way layered
here. Just wait till some team misses the playoffs because Joe Home Depot missed a kick at the end of the whatever game when their real kicker was
I'm just telling
bench.
You, but then
you'd rather have this than the 16 games as it is now.
Yeah, I'd rather have 2 extra weeks of football.
No.
Yep.
Two I'll extra crappy. You have a 4-month preseason. This would basically be glorified preseason.
It would count.
It would count, but it'd be crappy players out there.
And you'd really get to see. I think it's the league is populated by
see,
a bunch
what?
Of...
what? I still don't understand what you'd see. The Patriots are better than everybody
just
else?
Just how bad the coaching is.
We know that. We already know that. You need to see more of that?
I'll take two more weeks of
Brett Hundley.
I'll take two extra...
No, you don't want that.
You're right. I do. That's a hard thing for me to accept, but if my choice is Brett Hundley or whatever, figure skating, whatever's on after football ends, I'll take Brett Hundley.
Tennis talk.
Tennis, right? If it's that, it's a choice. No. Give me two extra football games.
If the owners really want it, there's one thing they could do to get it. I guarantee you. Ooh. I was trying to big market tease.
Is that a tease? Okay, so if they really want it, there is a way to do it.
Yep.
Okay. But I honestly, when I look back on the Patriots thing, one of the things I'm going to put up near the top of the list that, how you separated from the field is that when Brady was not on the field, you did not disintegrate. You did not. You were still one of the best teams in the league, posting a 14-6 record with other guys at quarterback. Because I'm not a fan, like the 42-6 games over the Bills do nothing for me. They just do nothing.
That's the Bills at full strength. Get ready for the Bills at half strength when you get their backup quarterback.
I liked the Castle year. I liked that month without Brady.
That's here. And, if you're being selfish for us here, that might be more interesting. There are 31 other markets where they got to figure this out, and it's going to be a disaster.
I like those times. I like those games. Your thoughts on this, 617-779-0985, right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap, four-man rush. Grapple fires down the middle. Mark Bennett on the money. And on time, touchdown Patriots.
Oh, boy, we got a quarterback here. Big boy throw to Martellus Bennett going up the right seam. He brings Edelman in short motion from the left. Edelman gets the free release, so Jimmy's looking at him all the way. And he's to the left, but he comes back to the right. And that freezes at safety, and he throws a bullet to Martellus Bennett right up that right hash.
I like the backup quarterback games. I do. Tells me who you are as a football team. Tells me just how good your coach is or how bad your coach is.
You like the backup football, backup quarterbacks here. You don't like it with Green Bay or with Indy or with a bunch of other teams.
No, but it tells me just how clueless they are.
Sure.
So I get a real gauge of just what they are as an operation.
I already know. I already know what they are as operations. I don't need to see crappy backup quarterbacks.
Well, again, your option is that or monster trucks. So,
I'm okay with, at some point, too much of a good thing is too much.
Football hasn't reached it yet.
This planet would reach that. I'm okay with an 18-game schedule. It's the sitting guys for 2 weeks, dumb little portion of the plan that I think the owners mostly cooked up so they could take something back and make the players feel like they're gaining something in negotiations. I think that's why they proposed it that way. If you want to go to an 18-game schedule, fine. At least it's real players. Guaranteed 2 weeks of backup quarterbacks I don't need.
How do they get it done? Hook, land your tees.
All right, so D. Smith said, when this proposal came out, he said, I don't see an 18-game schedule under any circumstance. If somebody wants to make an 18-game proposal, we'll look at it. I haven't seen anything that makes me think it would be good for the players. Here's what I'm telling you. If the owners truly, really want an 18-game schedule, offer them guaranteed contracts.
Ooh.
The Players Association would sign off that in a heartbeat. You want us to play 20 games? You're going to guarantee our contracts? We'll do it. If D. Smith went to the owners right now and said, fine, you want 18 games? Guarantee all of our contracts. What do you think the owners would say?
Nope.
No way. No way, no how.
This is about growing revenue. That doesn't grow their revenue. That'll eat away at it. Guaranteeing guys deals, that'll eat away at it.
So tell me that.
It'll eat away at their profits, not the revenue. But yeah.
Tell me that wouldn't get 18 games on your schedule like that. You give me guaranteed contracts, they'll have it done in no time. Which, if I were D. Smith, I would do it because not only does it call their bluff, but if you actually got them to say yes, well, that would be the biggest accomplishment that the NFL Players Association had ever gotten.
So here's the deal. The reason they're doing this is because it's not that football's reached a tipping point, but growth has, meaning they've pretty much bled the stone dry. How do you create more revenue in football? You could... launch a couple expansion teams if you want and charge them $1 billion to enter the league. You could do that. But where are they going? That's one thing they could do.
St. Louis and San Diego?
Okay. I don't know. If those places wouldn't build a stadium for their existing teams, why would they build a stadium and then pony up an extra billion on top of it? I don't know how viable that is. That's why they're dinking around with London and all of this.
You can move overseas.
You can move overseas. That's one thing. But the only other real way to do it is... create more inventory. The ratings have peaked, and that's, you can't expect them to go much higher than they are. And so what there's, if they want to get to their magic $25 billion a year in revenue, how do you grow it? How do you get it? You got to give them more inventory.
Could you do that with playoff games? Could you expand the playoffs?
You could absolutely expand the playoffs. Yep.
See, I don't know if I like that either, but I'd probably like that better than this plan.
Okay. So this, the Red Sox, our NBA stuff, your calls on all of it. Doug in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. What do you got?
Not much. So what happens if Brady, and this probably wouldn't happen to New England, but it probably happened to another team, but what happens if Brady starts the first 16 games and they're like, all right, we made the playoffs, or they're close to making the playoffs, and you have to start your backup quarterback for the last two games, but you're in playoff contention. And then your backup quarterback gets hurt.
Oh,
there's another layer to it. I can already tell the calls are going to bug me a little bit.
Well, you're the one who's welcoming it. You know how you can avoid all the calls? Just say it's stupid.
All I'm saying is that wasn't interesting, the way the caller presented it. I don't mean to dump on you, but the whole way you manage who plays when, you just acknowledged, is an interesting element to the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, again, that would be interesting, but is that what's good for the league?
And they don't,
maybe. Yeah. I think it'd be good here. I'd have a lot of fun with it as a talk show host. Does that make it good for the league? I don't know about that.
I do.
Interesting from a strategic standpoint,
right?
But would it make the quality of the games better?
Okay, but again,
you would never have your best team out there. You wouldn't.
Okay, and if you don't do this, you're not having any football. Period. It's monster trucks. Hook. What do you watch in February after the Super Bowl?
But you're ignoring that you're chopping down the other. So now your 1 through 16 is worse. So you're getting 2 weeks, but your quality of play 1 through 16 or 1 through 17.
I'm getting extra
worse.
Football. I'm getting extra football. It's not.
Well, then watch the XFL.
All right. Well, or you can do that. I mean, is it extra total number of games, or do you just want an extra week tacked on the end?
I want extra games.
I will tell you that.
I want extra Patriots games. I want extra Packers games. I want extra games.
All right.
Games, not just weeks, games. I want extra games. I want more inventory.
More Brian Hoyer.
I want to expand the playoffs because you'll get an extra game that way.
I forgot.
And by the way, I'll bet you the players would be on board with that because there are real stakes in that. Like, players will get invested in the opportunity to win.
I don't know
if the games matter.
They don't get paid for the playoffs. They get winner's shares, but they don't get game checks.
I'll bet you got a better chance of adding one round to the playoffs than you do adding two games to the schedule.
No, if you add two games to the schedule, you get two extra game checks.
Yeah, but don't you think that they're just going to pay them the same amount?
Yes.
Divide it by 18 instead of 16?
Yeah, I mean, salaries will eventually go up because as you said, the cap goes up and revenue will go up. But in the meantime, yeah, they're just going to divide game checks by 18. You're going to get the same amount of money.
We've got Bob and Maynard with the Celtics thought. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi. I think maybe you shouldn't put the onus on Al Horford, but maybe think about the way Danny Ainge has treated other players in the past. Go back to Isaiah and the way Avery Bradley was treated, or Kelly Olynyk.
How were they treated?
Kelly Olynyk signed a big fat free agent deal with Miami.
So, Bob, I'm going to just let you go. Now, it is ridiculous that Isaiah Thomas is held against Danny Ainge. We've been over this, right?
I knew that was coming. Okay. As soon as how he's treated other players.
Okay, but listen.
I don't think that's ridiculous.
So we know that's ridiculous. How do you think the players in the league feel, Hook? Do you
think they're being ridiculous about that.
Okay, well, that's fine, but be that as it may, is it possible that they do hold it against Danny?
Some of them. I'm not even sure Isaiah Thomas holds it against Danny anymore.
Oh, it's totally ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
What did you want him to do? Did you want him to sign him to a max contract because he played through whatever during the playoffs?
No, that's all well and good. Just he could have done the same thing. Just acknowledge that he didn't treat Isaiah very well. That's all. Those things are independent. Sure, go ahead and trade Isaiah. The guy played through a hip injury that Kawhi Leonard never would have played through.
Okay,
Kawhi Leonard shut it down. He played through it, and then they dumped him out like the garbage.
So
I don't think that's that unreasonable that players feel that way.
He didn't treat him well. Yep. So let's flip that around. What is treating him well? What should he have done that you could have said, well, he treated him well?
Let me ask you something. Why'd the Celtics have to throw more into that deal with Cleveland?
You didn't answer the question.
Why are we answering questions with questions?
Okay, fine. What was your question again?
How or what should Danny Ainge have done that would have qualified as treating Isaiah well?
Well, I don't know. Maybe look out for the player. So do you think they knew he had this is why I asked a question with a question. Do you think they knew he had a major hip issue that he was playing through?
So your answer is they should have forced him not to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like,
because Isaiah Thomas can't stop talking about playing in the playoffs.
Why'd they have to throw more into the deal?
He wears that as a badge of honor. We know he was injured. This is not a question mark.
But they knew
everyone
how injured
in the world
he was. And
he was injured.
And he played days after his sister died. Like, yeah, hours after his sister. I think he deserved a little bit more. Yeah, I do.
But what is that? What did he deserve?
I think they could have. I just said. I think they could have looked out for the player.
So they could have forced him to stop.
When did he get hurt? March? Like I don't know about playoff games. But when did he get hurt? March? They could have said, "Yeah, Isaiah. You know what? Maybe sit these out."
All right.
And maybe they did do that. Maybe he played through it. Maybe it's 100% on him. But the players who feel that way, I think they feel that way for a reason.
Okay.
Yeah. For the record, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about they shouldn't have traded him. They're talking about
they should have
signed him up. They should have given him his money. They should have backed up the Brinks truck
for a broken down guy. They can trade him all they want.
An adult man chose to play and, by the way, continues to wear it as a badge of honor that he did so.
They can trade him all they want. That just makes him what it makes Bill Belichick, cold and heartless.
Whether the Celts are right or wrong, I do think there is something there that sent Al Horford to Philly. Never mind Kyrie Irving here, or Kyrie Irving to Brooklyn. There's something. Whether it's Stevens, Ainge, something in the culture that isn't, that I wouldn't say is even necessarily wrong, but that the modern NBA player or some of these guys just aren't down with, Hook. And that's what I think. Because Al Horford going, that's the one that should get your attention. Back to your phones on all this stuff after Hook's update.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Patriots at the 10 of Kansas City. Snap to Castle. Steps up, pumps, fires for the end zone. Moss with the catch. Touchdown, New England. Randy Moss. Another touchdown reception, the 125th of his brilliant career. And Matt Castle's got his first touchdown pass since January 1st, 2006.
I'm just going to pound you guys with backup quarterback highlights. Suck it, Jones. I like the backup quarterback.
You've really flipped your stance on Jacoby Brissett. You like that offense now with Jacoby Brissett? You're a big fan of that?
No.
More of that.
No, but what I'm saying is, their 3-1 record without Brady, I like what that represents.
I agree with that.
And I think it really is another, I don't know, I found that more rewarding and meaningful than a 3-1 record with Tom Brady at quarterback.
Sure.
Because I know what he can do.
I agree with all that.
But
you need, extra games on the schedule to figure that out?
It just shows you just how good you are and how complete you are that you can lose your quarterback and you're still winning at a 750 winning percentage. Like, that's a statement to me.
We already saw, first of all, we've already seen that. I don't need two extra games to figure it out. Secondarily, I'd like to see them in maybe a playoff game. Like, I don't need more regular season with games with these quarterbacks. I'd like to see maybe a playoff game with these quarterbacks before I say that, you know, it's about a lot more than Tom Brady, the whole operation here.
Bill in Bellingham, what do you think, Bill?
Well, I was just going to talk about how they were going to limit the guys to 16 games. Belichick's just going to pick two NFC World games, say all 53 of my guys are skipping this one, we'll take the forfeit, and have his full roster for the other 16 games.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I think he might like to dink around with his... Are you kidding? You know, Bill would be aroused at the thought of having to manage his gunners and all the kicking game guys.
Oh, yeah.
And how to manage the 16 games versus the 18 games. Well, against this punter who likes to pin it inside the... I'm going to play Brandon King and 16 other guys we don't care about. I'm going to sit...
Drop kicks.
Oh, yeah.
Pants off experience.
Yeah, because everybody else is going to sign a backup kicker and Bill's not going to do that.
No. Behind the curve. No.
Yep. Brady's going to be drop punting or the backup quarterback's going to be drop punting. You know what I did just think of? And this, again, for us, I think this would be great. For talk radio and especially here, because some of the games can be, let's face it, boring. Is Bill the one calling the shots on all this?
On what?
What if Tom's like, yeah, you know what? This is the game I don't want to play in. Who's Robert Kraft side with?
Oh, Brady.
I don't know. What if Tom wants a midseason? What if Giselle wants a midseason vacation? What if Giselle says, Tommy, we're going here, we're going there. Like Kraft's going to side with Brady. We already know this, right? So who calls the shots on missing these games?
By the way, don't they also have to practice the week that they don't play? Nothing says you get a week off. You just don't play in the actual game. So you're still going to have to show up and practice.
Exactly.
I guess that's a good point.
Nick and Easton with the Celtics Thought. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going? Huge fan, guys. With Kemba coming into town and, you know, how Gordon was so up and down last year, kind of with his productivity, do you think it's time for Brad to kind of have a conversation as far as, like, scaling back Hayward's minutes to kind of, you know, not alienate Kemba coming to town now?
Okay, the Stevens Hayward thing's a fair question. You talk to a lot of people, you know, alleged insiders who've heard and talked to people, McMullen, Stephen A., all these guys say, Gasper mentioned it all last year, that some of the problems, a lot of the problems, really started early in the year when Hayward was starting and then even getting big minutes off the bench, even though he clearly wasn't right, clearly wasn't playing well. And his relationship with Brad and the teacher's pet, favorite son sort of thing, and other guys losing minutes and shots because of it, that was a thing that poisoned the room early and they never really recovered from. Has that issue been addressed?
Not at all.
Okay, so that is still on the table. They still got to figure that out. Stevens, oh, golly gee, Wilkers over there has to figure that out.
Yeah. He has to realize, and look, I mean, the rotation's been thinned out a little bit, so maybe guys will be more receptive to Hayward playing more, but I don't know. Like, I don't care how much Hayward plays if I'm them, and maybe they do. I don't care how much Hayward plays if I'm Tatum and Brown. I say them. If I'm Tatum and Brown. But I do care if he's getting plays called for him instead of me. You know what I mean? Like, if he's a primary option on certain plays, I'd kind of look at Brad and go, what are we doing, G. Willikers? Like, why are we drawing things up for Gordon? Because you found him as a tennis player when he was 16 years old and he polished an apple for you and put it down on the teacher's desk? Why is he
Did
the primary?
Did you like Hayward as a player in Utah?
I think he was fine, yes. I mean, I think that, you know,
Who's got a higher ceiling, him or Tatum? Ceiling.
Oh, Tatum, no question.
No question. Okay, wasn't Hayward an All-NBA selection at one point? Was it third-team All-NBA?
He was an All-Star. Did he make an All-NBA team? I'd have to double-check that. But Hayward's good.
All-Star.
Yeah, sure. I think Tatum's ceiling is All-NBA. I think Brown and Hayward may have a similar ceiling. I think Tatum has a higher ceiling.
Very good. We've got Celtics on the board. We got NBA on the board. We've got this 18-game schedule on the board, and we'll reset our Red Sox thoughts right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
3-2, swinging away, chops it to the left side. They get the lead runner at third.
And it's just bad baseball. I mean,
And this is nothing against Alex or the Red Sox. This is the modern day game we're playing, and it just does not make any sense.
If you bet the baseball, Bradley Jr. be at third, Dave Roberts bring the infield in, and you have two shots to win the game.
I'm also shocked, though, that Jackie Bradley Jr. goes on this. I mean, this is a ball that you have to have behind you. He's hosed at third base.
When you play bad baseball, you get rewarded with more bad baseball. And that's what you saw from Bradley Jr.
All right, maybe the key play last night in what I think was a swing game for the Red Sox. That would have been a nice win. Get a little wind at their sails, which obviously they've had a hard time doing this entire season. They split the first two against the Dodgers, who've been the best team in baseball. Chris Sale gets his teeth kicked in again on Saturday. But then last night they come back with back-to-back homers in the eighth. It was Bogarts and Martinez, right?
Yep.
So they tie it in the eighth, and then they get the winning run in scoring position in the ninth, 10th, and 11th innings. And that was even one of, well, they had it a couple times in the 11th. That was a situation where Jackie Bradley led off the 11th with a double and then got thrown out trying to go to third on a ground ball up the middle. And there you heard the commentary from A-Rod and Mendoza on the ESPN broadcast after he got thrown out. So Jones blames Alex Cora for not bunting in that situation.
I blame him for being inconsistent in extra innings. I actually wouldn't have bunted either time, but I blame him for being, do the same thing, be uniform with those, the 9th and 11th.
Okay, so I would have bunted, but you cannot put that on Alex Cora. That is Jackie Bradley. You cannot get thrown out at third base in that situation. Period. Story over.
Well, if you would have bunted, he's not going to get thrown out on the bunt either.
But I have to trust my major league players, my veterans, anyone who plays Little League to understand that you can't go to third there unless you see the ball go into the outfield. Period. Story over.
Yeah. Look, Bradley, it wasn't good base running. I'd start with the manager and his inconsistencies.
Okay. That inning, I think then the Red Sox still loaded the bases and stranded. So they had the runners in scoring position to end the 9th, 10th, and 11th innings. And they end up losing in extras to the Dodgers. So they lose 2-3 when they could have won 2-3. And that third one would have been a come from behind, extra inning, nationally televised sort of marquee win on a Sunday night coming out of the All-Star break. That's a pretty big swing. And so they still just can't, they can't get on track. But I'm not giving up on the team. Are you guys?
No. And you asked this earlier. I don't know that either of us really elaborated, but no, I haven't given up on them. I don't like most of the other teams in the wild card race. Is Tampa probably better? Sure, probably, though they've come back to the pack. All those other teams, the A's and the Rangers and Cleveland who might be selling, the Red Sox have better talent than all of them. They've had trouble finding it, but I think they'll find a way to sneak in as a second wild card, and if they do, they're dangerous.
Yeah, my not giving up on them is not an endorsement of the Red Sox as it is as much as my just not believing in any other teams around them. It's not that they're going to catch up to the other teams. The other teams are going to fall back to them, and they're going to back their way into the World Series, or I should say back their way into the postseason. And given the way they are able to manage the team in the postseason like they did last year and starters become relievers and all of that, if they get there, well, then, they could just as easily win a World Series as anyone else because I still believe they have the talent, but they're going to have to back their way into the playoffs first.
Okay, so and that's where I'm at, that the roster's still there. The talent's still there. So why would you give up on this team?
Well, you're the one who's not buying. You're the one who doesn't want John Henry to spend any more on the team.
No, I'm just not ripping him for not spending any more money. I think he's spent more than enough. And I think,
I'd like him to spend a little more.
Okay, so that's another side topic. As we talk about the Andrew Cashner deal, you like it?
I do. I just hope they're not done. So if this was it, if John Henry said, Dave, you get one deal or I'm going to allow, this much money, and it wasn't much money, $1.5 million, something like that. If this was all that Dombrowski can do and is allowed to do, then he should have addressed the bullpen. So I like the deal in a vacuum. I think Cashner for a couple of 17-year-olds is fine. I just hope they keep adding. I hope they don't stop there. And I do like that on top of it, I like that Dombrowski for the second year in a row is out setting the market ahead of everyone else. He's not waiting and reacting and maybe having to overpay later on.
Okay, which is his track record. He moves quick when he does.
Yep.
He goes early.
Like almost to a fault. He almost sees what he wants, pays whatever it takes to get it, and then he's like, okay, I got it, I'm done. Like almost to a fault, but I would rather lean this way than twiddling your thumbs until July 31st and then blaming prices being too high. Like,
and
that's lame.
I'm a definitively give up the prospects guy, but particularly when the prospects are two 17-year-olds I've never heard of. Like, what? I mean, these guys, if they become great, are what, 4 years away from even making it into the major leagues? 4 years? Yeah, I'll give up them for a guy who can help me now.
Okay, so in terms of whether this is in a vacuum, Billy, let's hear the Dombrowski cut where he talks about, well, Jones and a lot of us, a lot of you, say, well, they need bullpen help. What are you doing getting a starter? And Dombrowski says, no, well, no, wait a minute. We actually do have bullpen help coming. His name's Nathan Eovaldi. Go ahead, Billy.
We are going to add Nathan Eovaldi. And for some reason, people seem to like not grasp onto that. He's a big addition for us coming, and we think that he'll be ready to go within about a week to join us on a full-time basis out there. So he is an addition to our bullpen. We just added Stephen Wright recently. So I don't know. I don't know if we'll do anything else in that regard. We kind of like some of our guys out there.
Okay, you hate that comment?
I didn't even catch the Stephen Wright thing. Oh, you added Stephen Wright too? Oh, good. I'm sorry. I missed him getting his teeth kicked in on Saturday night. No, we were all factoring in the Eovaldi thing, Dave. Trust me, I defend you more than most, Dave Dombrowski, but I was already factoring in the Eovaldi move, and it's not enough. You need more moves on top of the Eovaldi move, and you better hope the Eovaldi move works out, which, by the way, it may not. And as Hook alluded to earlier, and Dombrowski just said there, they only think he's back in a week. It's not like it's a guarantee he's back in a week. He's had setbacks before. So, A, you think he's coming back. B, you still need more than that. And C, we're all factoring it in already. So, yes,
and
that's an annoying comment.
Ever, not once, ever been a closer. How's that worked out for you so far, Dave? That was your plan heading into the season. We'll take some vaguely good, you know, middle relievers, and surely one of them will be a closer. Nope, Brazier. Nope. Barnes, nope. Anyone else you've put there? Oh, well, guys, you're not taking into account the fact that I'm going to take another guy who's never been a closer. I'm going to put him in there. Also, he's an injury risk, so he'll be the perfect guy to pitch on back-to-back nights in high leverage situations because he's got a track record. Oh, no, he doesn't have a track record of anything having anything to do with this particular job. He's unhealthy, and he's never been a closer. And absent everything else, you're paying him twice as much as it would have cost you to get any number of established closers on the free agent market in the offseason.
See, I like the I don't mind Eovaldi closing. I just, they need way more than that.
Well, it's just cheesy to say, yeah, we're adding Eovaldi.
Oh, it's really cheesy and weaselly. And yeah, I mean, no. That's not adding. That's just, you're getting a guy back healthy. That's not an ad.
You think. You think. You
we
maybe.
Think. Yeah, we're hoping. Fingers okay. crossed. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I've about reached my limit on Chris Sale. Like, I was willing to give him the whole first half to figure things out, but he clearly didn't because he once again had a bad loss on Saturday, gave up 5 runs for the 3rd straight game. He's taking plenty of accountability. Like, for example, Billy, you got a Sale cut on Saturday?
It's the same old stuff, just not getting it done. Just making bad pitches, not keeping the ball in the yard, not shut down innings when I need to. Same stuff as before.
Okay, give me another one.
I'm going out there to fit there and get my ass kicked. What do you think? It's not fun. I'm still working, still grinding. I'm not going to give up, but you know, it's tough. You know, going out there every day, being a liability for your team.
Okay, going out 35 days and being a liability for your team. Wow. Calls himself a liability. Again, I was willing to give him the first half. They baked in a slow start for him like they did for the whole team. They barely
whole team.
Right? They barely threw him in spring training, so fine. The first couple starts, I'll give it to you. Or do you like the team? Do you have a World Series hangover? Do you have a new contract hangover? I'll give you that. Slow start, got money in your pocket. Championship ring on your finger, so you get off to kind of a slow start. The first half is sort of a throwaway. I've seen that before. I'll allow for it. Now you're into the second half. Now you're out of the playoffs, and you have a big game against another nationally televised game. Is that a Fox game on Saturday?
Yes.
Against the Dodgers?
Yes.
I'm not even sure, but either way, there you are. And okay, so now it's time. Now the hangover's over. The slow start that's baked in is run its course, and he's still... You know, it doesn't look like Chris Sale. Now I'm worried. Like, that's the first one that I really get worried about. You, all the stuff about him being accountable is starting to bug you, too.
Yeah, just, we get you suck, Chris. Why don't you let us know when you're good? Like, take some time off and let us know when you're good. We get you suck. We get you don't have it. We get you're a liability. We get you're letting your team down. You say it after every start. And on some level, that's commendable. You're not David Price making excuses. You're not Kyrie making excuses. But after 3 months of hearing it, I'm also sick of this. I'm sick of Mr. Accountability. Oh, I sucked. I just didn't have it today. I got to be better. Got it. When you're good, let us know. Well, other than that, we know you suck. So you don't have to update the situation.
His only options are to deny it or not speak at all. And I don't think either of those would be particularly well-received either.
But is there anything where he can just say, you know what, guys? Like, I don't know anymore. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. I've told you I suck. I got to figure it out. Like, I don't feel like we need the big, long soliloquy. Like, it's a big, long soliloquy every time. I don't need that either. Just, hey, I've talked about it. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I suck. Got it.
Okay, there's your Red Sox reset. We can hit on that. And in the NBA stuff, we even did a little bit of Wimbledon before, if you want that. The 18-game schedule, the NFL, your calls all final hour. We got Jones in for Maz. We got Hook in for Murray. Felger here still, unfortunately for you, in the a-hole chair. Right back to your phones. No spots, just an update.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.